Thanks, Tom. Yes, I'm Bob Kramer, currently with the University of Missouri. I had retired after 32 years in USDA ARS, and now I can enjoy some research time. So what we've been doing for the last 5 years is working with the solar corridor concept. I'm just going to introduce it briefly. If you want to know more about it, there's a symposium on the solar corridor on Wednesday, I think in one of the adjacent rooms that you're welcome to attend. But briefly, what it is a planting arrangement that allows increased light capture in taller statured crops, such as mainly corn is what we've been looking at. So what you see here is that this is a wide row spacing with twin row planting corn, and it allows, as you can see, the stature of the crop the leaves to intercept more radiation and presumably more photosynthesis, more carbon fix. And also this space in between allows for integration or intercropping of a lower statured crop. So the idea, from my standpoint, since I am a soil microbiologist, I'm very interested in is there an increase in carbon that is being exuded through roots into the soil that would stimulate the soil microbial community? And that's where we're working at here, relating that to soil health. Also, the intercrop provides an opportunity to actually increase agroecosystem diversity and allow more, a lot of potential benefits. Soil conservation, more organic matter, plant nutrient cycling, microbial diversity and function, and of course potential to enhance arthropod diversity activity. And I'll have some results showing you that there's additional forage and possible grain production along with the main crop of corn. So those objectives were to assess this planting arrangement for soil quality, crop productivity, and beneficial insect communities. What you see here is cowpea intercropped in this wide row or the corridor, and we've been comparing that spacing alongside a monoculture spacing, your typical 30-inch corn rows, just to see if there is, in fact, a difference. We've used, this is the basic setup, row width, plant population, and these are the measurements that we'll go through. We've made a lot more measurements than that, but for the lack of time this morning, I'm just going to consider those. This is a planting from this year. Because we had such a very variable weather pattern this year causing delays in planting, I think after the third replanting, we managed to put a crop in. We only looked at wide row spacing. We did not have a monocultural comparison. These are the hybrids we've looked at. We've tried to select Leroy Dykeman, who is the developer of this system, has selected hybrids that may respond to the spacing, and it's primarily developed on the ear flex trait that could respond to these different environments. And so you see a lot of hybrids down here that are rather unique in one aspect or another, whether it's genetics or their growth traits. And we've always included some of the conventional varieties that you see here. So I'll get right into some of the data. We're looking at soil quality. We look at microbial activity, soil microbial activity. One of them is an enzyme indicator, which is involved in the carbon cycle, glucosidase. Activity values you see here, hybrids across there, the x-axis. Blue is monoculture, red is corridor row, and you can see that there are some hybrids that, and this is in the rhizosphere, it's the root soil that is being sampled. And you can see there's a response to activity to the widespread spacing in particular cultivar or hybrids. And including there is one mycogen variety, that conventional, that consistently responds to this. So that, what it suggests is there's perhaps more energy in the rhizosphere soil that the microbes are able to use to increase microbial activity of this enzyme and carbon cycling. This year, as I said, we didn't have a monoculture comparison, but we do see fairly high levels of this soil enzyme activity. with the selections. This is basically narrowing down the screening program to the, looking at the selected hybrids that performed well previously in the last 2 or 3 years. Plus, we had various intercrops, and as you can see, activity increased with particular ones. Here's a cowpea, and that suggests that there may be an additive effect to increasing the soil biological activity, as opposed if there were just a solid stand of the corn hybrids. We used SPAD readings just to get a handle on potential increases in photosynthetic activity, or chlorophyll readings, and here's some data from 2014 where we screened 10 hybrids. It seems that the corridor does increase that activity to some extent, as you can see in the increased values there. All we can say for 2015 is that, yes, those values are about the same that we saw in previous years. What about yield, as you are obviously expecting? Some of the corn from 2013, we did see either similar yields to between the corridor and monoculture, or in some cases there were some slight increases that you see here. And these are those selected hybrids that have the flex trait. Here is that mycogen variety again that seems to respond to the solar corridor. That was 2013. 2014, again, we see the same very similar patterns that we see here when we had the large screening. So, you know, it tends to show that we do have some response that is consistent over years. These were in different blocks each year, and it wasn't on the same block. So that has to be considered as well. All right, so let's look at the corridor crops that we've looked at over the years. We've looked at oats as a late fall planting because this is a very good crop, a lot of density, a lot of root mass. It will freeze over, provide a mulch into the next spring. This is cowpea from this year. You see it's a very nice, at this point, considering the fact that it was planted on the July 24th, this is less than 30 days later. It's a very fast-growing plant, shade-tolerant, and it does a very nice job of filling in the wide space. We've looked at sun hemp, which probably won't work very well because it's a taller stature crop, may interfere with harvest, but is a very good nitrogen fixer. We've found a very good nodulated roots on that, and this is not a very good shot, but this is buckwheat that has been planted down in that solar corridor. Now, what we found is that we get increased biomass that you can see. This is on a dry weight basis. It's not indicated. On a kilogram per hectare basis, you can see there's a difference in cowpea production between 14 and 2015. And that is because the first year we used one that's selected for a cover crop use. And the other, and then the next year we used a grain crop. And that value is an error. That should be about 950 kilograms of dry grain that calculated on a per hectare basis. So we were able to get harvest grain from cowpea the second year. In the first year we didn't, because that variety is a very long season variety and it didn't produce any grain. But you know, with the grain, with about 4% nitrogen, you get a considerable amount of protein produced as a bonus to the corn production that could be used for animal or human food uses. Now, the thing about the cultivar selection with these corridor crops is indicated here. Here is that cover crop variety that we used in last year, 2014. You can see later in the season, the plant begins vining up the corn, and it does make difficulties in harvest. So this year we looked at the California Black Eye number 5, which is a more of a semi-vine variety, and it stayed within the row the whole season. We never had that interference. So that's, you know, that's one of those considerations that we have discovered as we went along. Now a little bit about the growing season. Here is you know, the amount of rainfall we had this year in central Missouri. So we didn't get the corn planted until June 29th, which is very late. And then the corridor crops came in July 24th, and then it turned dry in August. Late August into fall, we had very dry conditions. And so this is a factor as well that affected some of the results that we found. All right, so I guess most of you are interested in the insect part of this, so this is where that comes in. Buckwheat, as I said, blooming in 30 days, so it had a lot of pollinators, and my amateur photography here shows the Hymenoptera here, which is one of the honeybee probably, some Lepidopteras. That's on buckwheat. The sun hemp bloomed about 30 days later, and all it attracted were stink bugs and maybe a cucumber beetle or two. And I think it goes to, you know, when some of these introduced plants that are non-natives, they do not attract the pollinators and the beneficials that we might be led to believe, although buckwheat does a very nice job at it. So that's a variable that needs to be considered as well if one is interested in increasing the diversity of the arthropod community. So when did a few sweeps, my entomologist co-author Terry Woods did this for us, and we found nine orders, and some of them had up to five taxon, and they were separated out into predators, pollinators, or herbivores, which would be a plant pest. So as you can see here, the Homopteras, which are primarily leafhoppers, may be considered a pest, and we would find an armyworm once in a while as well. But primarily, by and large, most of the arthropod community were beneficials, pollinators, and predators. So for just one point in time at that late date, we were able to see a considerable increase in this in the diversity of the arthropod community, which was a bonus in our estimation compared to a monocultural crop field. And what else? This block, I forgot to mention, most of those corn varieties are non-GMO, so we were not using Roundup. Therefore, we had a very nice field edge of native plants and weeds, so to speak. So we were able to get a field of edge of field effect that would increase the diversity of the arthropods in the vicinity, including some milkweed with the monarch larvae on it. And then velvet leaf, which we don't see much anymore because Roundup has pretty well wiped it out, but we had some velvet leaf that went to seed, and we see a lot of the seed predators of Neisseria louisianica, which is the scentless plant bug, something that I worked with quite a bit, feeding on the seeds. This is the seed capsule of that particular plant. It's in the cotton family, if any of you did not realize that. But we had a very nice population of that. Now, of course, how many of the seeds is it going to take out? You know, who knows? But it is, you know, part of the community that could have an effect on the overall infestations of this particular weed. So in conclusion, I think we can say that the solar corridor cropping system can make a potential positive contributions to soil quality. There appears to be a yield response with selected hybrids to this planting arrangement. And the contributions of the corridor crops include soil health benefits, value-added cover, forage, grain possibilities, and it supports beneficial arthropod communities. Now, if you want to learn a little bit more about some of these comments here on cover, forage, and grain, I'll be giving another talk in the symposium on Wednesday that kind of expounds on what we found in that regard. So that's all I have. Thank you. Okay.